you cannot truly be holy unless you have opened your life to Christ, actually opened your life to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Because the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to drive us toward holiness.
Welcome, everyone, to podcast number 176, Renew Your Mind. With us today, we have Senior Pastor Paul Gruenberg. Mm-hmm. We have Associate Pastor Jeremy Tarrou. We have retired Pastor Barry Sweet. And we have our Family and Youth Director and Praise Director, Jordan Kettlewell. And myself, Dana Hall, is the moderator. We started a series on holiness. And last podcast, we talked about what is holiness. And this podcast, we want to talk about more of the practical, the how, kind of the how-to. So we thought we'd start it off with Matthew 5, verse 48. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So,
And I'm just going to jump right out there and say one of my initial reactions often is, well, then I'm toast.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If I have to be perfect, you know, there's no hope for me. And I think a lot of people react to that verse, taking it out of context. But then why try? Because I know I'm never going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think you said the right word, context.
Mm-hmm.
Because in that, be perfect, so that's Matthew 5:48. But it comes at the tail end of Jesus' teaching about loving enemies. And he says this, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbors and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, sons and daughters of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And in the Greek, that perfect means also has or entails maturity and completeness. So when we talk in terms of being perfect, it seems that Jesus is talking about being perfect in love, godly love, how you treat others. Well, even the tax collectors care for their own tax collectors and stuff. So loving your enemy seems to be a key here as well in regard to being perfect in love. And again, love is agape love. That agape love means unconditionally loving others, not for what they do, not for the benefits or the blessings that you receive for them, but just simply because God loves you and you're reflecting that love of God for you toward others.
I guess I still go back to how realistic is it to expect me to even love perfectly?
Well, but Jesus is calling us to, in this case,
right,
be perfect or be mature or be complete in love. And so how that extends or how far that extends to me is dependent on how open you are to the love of God in you, because it's, to me, it's going to be a reflection of how God loves you.
Okay, so that's part of the answer.
Right, so if you understand God's love is unlimited, then, and you're trying to be Christ to the world, then your love will be unlimited too. And in theory, that's great.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So this is a podcast.
And
on
we're
how
all
to.
Thinking, how can I love so and so?
Well, and I think part of what you said resonated with me in terms of, you know, when we're centering ourselves in Christ, trying to be Christ-like, focusing on the love of God and taking that in and receiving it, you can't hold that and keep it to yourself,
mm-hmm,
if it's real. And so I think part of the key to being holy and to living that out in real life is letting that spill out of your life into the lives of others, into your words, into your thoughts, into your actions.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be able to receive it first.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's that we talked about this last time in regard to wearing masks or mm-hmm putting on airs, for lack of better words, to pretend that you are something you're not. And the reality is that you cannot be holy, you cannot truly be holy unless you have opened your life to Christ, actually opened your life to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Because the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to drive us toward holiness.
Mm-hmm. One of the places in my life that I've taken big spiritual leaps has been when I've been had to be reliant on the Holy Spirit in mm-hmm. my life, on the mission field. In the Great Banquet Ministry, which for Methodists would be the Emmaus Walk, and my cancer journey as well, is that my spiritual leaps happened when I was no longer the focus and I was way past my ability level.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I was drowning on a lot of levels. I was way past what I could do naturally well. And the Holy Spirit takes you to the next level.
Yes.
When you're open to the working of the Holy Spirit. And then you take these spiritual leaps, and that leads you into a different relationship with God, which leads you into a more holy relationship. You understand it a little better, and that bubbles out of your life. Yeah. At least it did in my case. And those were my big moments in my life. There's lots of little ones, but so in the midst of serving God and being available to God, vulnerable to the moving of the Spirit, is where I sensed a deeper sense of holiness happening in me, and then it, not only in me, but through me.
So practically, thinking practically, what did you do every day? Did you pray more? Did you listen more?
Oh, prayer is definitely central to that piece.
Right, but did you listen more? Like, what was different about those times?
I think I was more desperate, to be very honest with you.
Mm-hmm. That's,
I was desperate because I realized I was way out of my comfort zone and way mm-hmm. out of my ability level.
So you admit,
and the only way this was going to happen and be successful is I had to totally rely on God.
Yeah.
And so I just put myself.
You yielded.
Yeah, I yielded. Mm-hmm. Good word.
Yes.
And said, okay, God, this is not me anymore. It can't be because I don't have these gifts. This has got to be you. If you want this to happen, then you got to do it. Mm-hmm. And use me.
I guess what I was trying, where I was trying to go was you yielded daily, hourly, instead of
sometimes seconds.
In versus yielding whenever, I don't know, whenever you went to church or whenever. I mean, is that the difference? It was like.
It was definitely a more constant thing.
Okay.
And when you're in those periods in your life where, I mean, you're up front and center and you got to do something and you don't have anything to give beyond what you've already given. When you become totally reliant on the work of God and what God wants to do, and mm-hmm. it's no longer what Barry wants to do because I have nothing left, it becomes what God wants to do. You're living in holiness at that point because you're living in what God wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's yielding to that, giving yourself over to it, but being vulnerable enough to give up control.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a scary thing.
It is.
It is. And I think the moment when you reach that place where you can no longer look down but can only look up.
Yeah.
My experience was in the hospital a couple years ago with COVID. And one of the things for me at that moment, I had nothing else to worry about. And for me, it was music, worship music, just worshiping God, just spending that time with God. And then the other was the realization that I was dependent on everyone around me to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I was constantly thanking everyone for whatever they did. When they came in, before the nurse left, I just, thank you. You know, you're my lifeline, right? That's the thing we have to have with God. God has always got to be your lifeline. God's got to always be the one who's going to help you through a situation. Now, God gives us abilities, certainly, but do we thank God when we use them? And what was really interesting in my experience was when I left, you know, I was much better. The wheelchair was going down the hallway and everyone's saying, see you, Pastor Paul, you know, type thing. And I'm like, what did I do? I didn't do anything, but I was just worshiping God. I mean, when we're at our most desperate, what else do you have?
Absolutely.
And so I found myself listening to, who was the guy? Not Phil Keaggy. There was a guy I listened to a lot. And then listened to some scripture and listened to a Christian book and just pretty much laid there. I mean, I didn't even have the TV on. I didn't want the distractions and stuff.
That's part of it.
Well,
you
isn't it?
You didn't have the distractions.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
I did watch the first Michigan State basketball game, but and I think my son came and we watched the Lions game on Sunday. But other than that, I didn't have the TV going 24/7. It was just
and then God can speak and you can hear and there's you're on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the holiness thing is putting yourself in a place or in allowing yourself to be in a place where it's all God and not you.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know, you almost are naked and alone and sometimes even afraid. It sounds like not a place anybody wants to be.
Well, desperate for God and
desperation's
on,
a really good word.
Clinging to God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the trick there is really, you know, I agree 100%. I've been there. I think most of us have all been there. But the trick is maintaining that when you're not desperate.
Exactly.
Because when you're desperate, frankly, it's easy.
Yeah, good
it's
point.
It's easy to just give yourself over and be like, God, I need you to take this. I completely submit.
Jesus, take the wheel. Yeah.
It's easy because there's no other option.
Right.
And then we come through that. And going back to what you said, Barry, earlier, you know, when you come through that, it's so easy to, even if you're serving God, even if like if you're, you know, we're all in ministry here, right? So it's even if you're serving God through ministry or if you don't work in ministry, it's volunteer and you know the stuff that you're doing, you're doing it to serve God. How often, like Dana had mentioned, like how often do we just get caught up in what we're doing? Even though we're serving God, we're still just caught up in the mechanics of what we're doing. So how that's the trick. That's the like the practical end of how do we do this when we're not desperate? How do you wide open submit every day, every minute, even when everything's fine. When everything's fine.
That's a good point.
Because from what I'm gathering, so like we're trying to answer the question, you know,
how can
we be holy?
Yeah.
I'd like to even pose, can we be holy? And kind of what I'm hearing is really, I'll throw this out there and just let you guys chew on it and pick it apart. No, we can't. We can't be holy. Unless we're completely given over to God.
Right.
And
correct.
And I say that, you know, I think it's easy for us to get in our bubble discussion, but for anybody listening, like they might be wondering, well, yeah, of course, Barry, you feel that way. You're a pastor. You work in ministry. Of course, Pastor Paul,
yeah,
you feel that way. You're a pastor. You're supposed to feel that way. And you're supposed to act that way in all things and in all aspects of your life. I'm a mechanic. My job's different. But we should still be doing that.
Right.
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 Like in any aspect of our life. And I can say sometimes I think it probably is easier for us that work in ministry to be constantly focused on that. So back to the practical matter. How do we do it? And how do we do it in our daily life?
Right.
Even when it's not our daily routine. How can we get there?
You want to hit Romans 12? 1 and 2.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
All right, so therefore, Paul says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So it starts with constantly offering yourself to God.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you do, you're offering it to God. It's that mindset that says, is what I'm doing pleasing to God?
Or even as a mechanic. Doing your work as a mechanic, are you offering that up to God?
Right.
So God, this is an interesting thing because I think God gets pleasure in seeing us use our gifting or our abilities to do the things that we're supposed to do. So in ministry or as a mechanic or as a delivery person or as whatever it is that you do, if you're doing it to the best of your ability and you're seeking to please God in that, then that brings pleasure to God. And so there was a construction worker I met a long time ago, and it was up in the UP, and his work schedule from the very beginning of spring to the very beginning or into the winter season was relatively short. And then he would raise money and go to an orphanage. I think it was Romania. I can't remember where it was. During his off season, when he was getting unemployment, he would raise money and then he would go work on an orphanage over in, I don't remember where it was. So the idea being that he's offering his body, he's offering his life as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God in his work. And he's also doing ministry. He was very knowledgeable about scripture. He was one of those people I was like really impressed with. And then Paul goes into, do not conform any longer. So this is the how, right? Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. And so recognizing what's the pattern of this world and not conforming to it, it says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how do we transform our mind? How do we renew our mind? What's
by listening to the Renew Your Mind podcast?
That's probably on the list, Jordan.
I'm sure, our listeners all agree.
Yes. But what would primarily be the renewing of our mind? What are the practical things that we do to renew our mind?
Worship, prayer.
Worship, prayer.
The Word.
I would say hiding the Word in our hearts. Mm. I would say putting it in a place where that's what bubbles up when we think, okay, what do I need to do next? And then that scripture bubbles up, right?
I think also in the application side of it is looking at whatever you do with your day, whatever kind of work you do, is how do I do this for Jesus? You mm-hmm. don't do it just to make money. It's ministry. Mm-hmm. Wherever you are placed, yeah, whatever you're doing, that's ministry.
Yes.
So we're all in ministry.
That's right.
And so viewing that as how do I serve Jesus here? And then in the midst of that, the Holy Spirit shows up and Jesus shows up and helps you, gives you opportunities to do things.
But even more practical, I didn't mean to cut you
off, fine.
But even more practical, you know, for somebody that's not doing that and not used to it, how do they do that?
How do you even begin?
How do you begin?
Like, I think a big part, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I think a big part, a huge first step that I've been even trying to get more aware of recently, the more I've, it's come up in discussion, the big first step is seeking God. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a churchy way to say something, seeking God. Oh, yes, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, right? It's a churchy way to say it. It's looking for him. Look for God in your day. If you're not used, if that's not a spiritual discipline that you have, you know, trying to give everything you do in any job or in your personal time, and you're trying to figure out how to get to that place spiritually, just look for God.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe ask.
Well, yeah, there's so
you could
reveal
ask,
yourself,
right.
God.
Yeah, and but the thing is, so we pray and we ask, and that is obviously, it's obviously key, but then we have to look and listen because God is in our day and he's in our lives. He's all around. And if we look for that, the reason I always talk about that look for him is because once you see him somewhere, you'll see him somewhere else, and then you'll see him somewhere else again. And the more you see God in your day, the more you see God in your day, and eventually you can't not see God in everything that happens.
I think you have to, and I was striving to get to the even more practical, you have to pause, right?
Right.
And look, or pause and think. And I know that sounds goofy that people can't pause, but we don't pause.
Yeah. Well, it's intentional,
constantly.
Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think, and you kind of blew through a four-letter word there, a good one, pray. Prayer is absolutely critical to this process.
Right. Yeah.
Because if we're going to try to live out our day in a way where we see God and allow God into what we're doing, is you have to be intentional and pray about that. Right. Lord, give me opportunities today. Help me see you. Help me recognize you, but also use me.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we're not talking the formal prayer. You know, we're not talking about those moments where it's just you and God or within the church and we're praying the Lord's Prayer.
No.
We're talking about that constant communication that Paul talks about, where there's always that open channel to God as though he's walking next to you, as right. though what? He's in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. So God is always with you. And you can have an ongoing conversation. So when we say mm-hmm. pray, it's that conversation, you know, yeah. God, where are you at today? How can I, God, is this you working as you watch something take place and say, is this a God moment, right? Mm-hmm. Is right. this a God encounter type of thing? And
I think there's a lot more of those than we know.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah. Mm, I believe that, yeah.
And then it says, Paul, with the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So when you have offered your body as a living sacrifice, when you're renewing your mind in the Word and in practice, then you can test and approve what God's will is, and it will be revealed to you.
And part of being holy is thinking about looking at God's will, not our will so much, and trying to focus on, okay, use me today in this in the work that I do. Mm-hmm. Help me to see you. Help me to point somebody else to you. Mm-hmm. Just the reality, every moment of every day kind of thing, walking with God, but also just that sense that I can't live without you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's that bracelet that a lot of people have. Charles Sheldon, I think, came up with it. What would Jesus do?
WWJD.
That really keeps in the forefront of your mind. If you're going to wear that or have that as a kind of a thought in your mind as you go throughout your day, what would Jesus do? That's renewing your mind.
And that focuses you into the area of holiness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is being set apart, as we talked about a definition, is that we're set apart to do work for God mm-hmm. wherever we find ourselves. And so mm-hmm. part of joining the holy is to open that door and to let God in and let God guide.
Yeah, and hopefully to our listeners who just heard us talk about this, something sparked in their head. Like I just jotted something down that I know that it's really difficult for me to do, but I know it would open myself up to God more if I did it. So if something spoke to your heart right now, jot it down and you know, start there. Yeah.
But I think it's in the midst of real life. Mm-hmm. It isn't just on Sunday morning at church, though that's part of the genesis of it. We need to be in worship and need to be, you know, with other Christians. But it's in the midst of everyday life, the Monday through Saturdays of life, and in the challenges of life. Mm-hmm. Do we bring God into those?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And I think to sort of bring it back to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. I think the reason why there's automatic hesitation or just disbelief to that is that the automatic reaction is, I have to do that myself. And we cannot. Everybody knows they can't.
Oh, that's a great point.
And it's not, that's not much different from not being able to save yourself from your sin.
Right.
Okay, so just to touch on Wesley for a moment. Wesley views receiving salvation, so justifying grace, meaning being saved, we're saved by grace through faith, mm-hmm. and receiving sanctification, both as grace through faith.
Mm-hmm.
Neither are by your works. We're saved by grace through faith. We receive continual sanctification by the power of the Holy Spirit by God's grace through faith. We trust, we believe that God wants to do it. We believe that he will. We seek it by faith. Mm-hmm. Now, not by our own works. Now, like Barry said earlier, we can do things to position ourselves to receive God's grace. Mm-hmm. Prayer, being in the Word, these are called means of grace, Wesley would call them. We're putting ourselves in a position to receive the Holy Spirit. Prayer, the Word, worship, fellowshipping with Christians, like in small groups, communion, the sacraments, these are means of grace. Now, again, it's not us doing the work. We're receiving it from the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. by faith.
Amen.
But God's just ingraining this word yield in my mind today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think it has a lot to do with yielding every part of ourselves over to God, because we can resist his grace.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But to yield, 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 and allow the further work of the Holy Spirit to come in and actually make us holy in our nature.
Mm-hmm. I get this word picture, and maybe we end here, of going out in the rain, and people who are out in the rain, they have umbrellas and they have raincoats on, and they're protecting themselves from the rain because that's the norm. Mm-hmm. That's what the world expects. And yet God is saying, put the umbrella away and allow me to reign in your mm-hmm. life, to yeah. To soak you with me. And that mm-hmm. requires us to do something that's contrary to what the world would have us do. And so when we talk in terms of, I think yielding is a great word, Jeremy, yielding to God, that requires us to do something different. And that requires us to put the umbrella down and allow God to soak us with his Holy Spirit. And in that, we become, as he pours out his grace into our life, we become more holy.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of the do not conform to the world mm-hmm. from yeah. Romans.
Okay.
And I may just want to end with this scripture here, which is kind of, in Methodist theology, this is a core scripture to the doctrine of sanctification, or entire sanctification. It's from 1 Thessalonians mm-hmm. chapter 5, verses 23 through 24. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it."
Amen.
Amen. So we'll end on that scripture reading. We come to you today from the Gaylord Methodist Church, and we are now affiliated with the Global Methodist Church. We're located at 215 South Center Street in Gaylord, Michigan. We have a traditional service on Sunday at 9 a.m. and a contemporary at 10:45 a.m., and we'd love to have you join us in person. But if you can't come in person, you can view us on Facebook or YouTube and to view our sermons. We also have on Wednesday second and fourth
yeah.
Wednesdays, we have, it's called Encountering God, and it's more of a discussion-based
worship.
Yeah, time of
worship.
So we, again, we'd love to have you join us. We also have a Super Bowl party.
Chili cook-off
on February the 11th. And we, you know, if you're interested in that, please give the church a call or Google us and to find more information. So thanks, everyone, for joining us.